are you?
Good morning.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
In the name of Jesus.
Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Oh, thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer, please. Father, what an absolute honor to be able to gather in your name and have your word at our disposal. Today, Lord, we would indeed say, as we read with the psalmist, may we open our mouths wide as you have promised to fill them. And so may we not just hear it, but may we do it. And Lord, guide us in this study today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I marvel at the Psalms and I marvel at the whole scripture because it's so balanced. And some of these Psalms are really, hip, hip, hooray. And man, you get so excited with all the excitement going on. And then we can learn from that. Today we have a melancholy one. And what can you learn from a melancholy one? As I read that a time or two, and I'm thinking, man alive, it doesn't do much for me. I mean, what is this anyway? And like anything else, when you start to really let it come alive, man, this speaks to me as much as any of them. So we have a psalm here. I think a good title is, it's the Lord saying, I would have. I would have. And so, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I believe it is, says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. So that's a great verse to keep from dwelling on what the has been and where we've been and disappointments and failures and, oh, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done that. But we got a psalm today who looks back a little bit. God's heart toward Israel. And it's a heart of a little bit of sadness, I think. And I think so often in our relationship with him, we're so self-focused. We're only looking at ourselves, Lord, bless me and do this. And if things aren't going well, it's why, Lord, and what about me? And oh, poor me and all this. And we kind of, I don't know, anyway, I do. I don't think I really look at it from God's standpoint that much. I can with my own kids in a way, because I can see wanting to bless my own children. And yet there are times when a blessing to them is not giving them what they want, is not encouraging them to do things that are not really of the Lord. And yet I want to bless them and I want to show them my love. So we kind of see this in this psalm, I think, and it's entitled in my Bible, an appeal. Appeal by whom? It's an appeal by God. It's an appeal for Israel's repentance. Repentance, huh? Well, the repentance certainly has an aspect of looking backward, right? If you, what are you going to repent on? You repent on what you've done. And in their case, it was immorality and idolatry. And in my case, it's immorality and idolatry. And that's the way it's been since the beginning of the world, really. But it's through the chief musician, meaning it's supposed to be sung. It's on an instrument of Gath, which probably is related to a stringed instrument of some kind. And it is a psalm of Asaph. And this is getting to be one of the last psalms in Asaph series of 12 here. And so I wanted to begin just by looking at verse 1 and then singing about it. It says, sing aloud to God, our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Boy, that's a good start, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
This is going to be an exciting psalm. Man, we're only going to look forward to where we're going. Well, we do this anyway. But I was just thinking of a song. Came to this shouting to the Lord. So there's a shout to the Lord. The words on the first page. And a shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing power and majesty. Praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the sea will roar at the sound of your voice. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. So let's just shout our joy to the Lord here, if we may. Shout to the Lord. And normally this group, a prayer group, pretty subdued. You know, we don't hear a lot of shouting in here, do we? But we can, this psalm says, shout to the Lord, make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. So let's shout to Jacob here, God of Jacob, if we may. Shout to the Lord.
To pray the wonders of your mighty.
Yes, indeed. So verse 1, as we just sang, is sing aloud to God our strength, make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob, raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day, for this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand. So in these first 7 verses here, of course, we are making reference to probably some feast day. We don't know what it is. This is one psalm where we don't really have any real significant link to any specific event or time that we can really figure, but it could be to the Passover, but it's to a feast day, our solemn feast day. And then he goes on and he gives a little history on taking them out of Egypt. When he went throughout the land of Egypt to establish a testimony in Joseph, where I heard a language I did not understand. Of course, they were Hebrews. They didn't understand the Egyptian language. And here is what he continued to do. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the baskets. And what they were doing, they were, you know, this the version of a Ford pickup truck in those days. They would carry the bricks or the materials, baskets or pots, at the ends of sticks, and you'd put the stick over your shoulders. And it's believed that that would typically be a load of about 200 pounds. So if you're carrying a 200-pound load in the heat all day long, that's slavery, isn't it, in a sense here. But I removed the shoulder from the burden, hands freed from these baskets. You called in trouble. Is that you? Is that me? Do we call in trouble? I believe so. I hope so. And what? I delivered you. Yes, he did. I answered you in the place of secret thunder. Remember Mount Sinai, when the law was given, and the thunder and the smoke and the fire. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Do you remember the waters of Meribah? I think we actually kind of came to that spot twice. We came to it early in the march, and they were really complaining about thirst, and so he struck the rock, and water gushed out, and praise the Lord, right? Now, about 38 years later, plus or minus, they approached that same place again, ready to go into the land, and same thing happens. They murmured, they complained, got mad, took it out on Moses and Aaron, and Moses and Aaron had enough. 38 years of complaining and murmuring. But Moses goes to the Lord, as you should, and the Lord said, Moses, go speak to the rock, right? And Moses was mad. So now Moses does the kind of almost unforgivable, not totally unforgivable from a salvation standpoint, but the unforgivable sin that we should also not do, and that is blame God. Blame God, and then misrepresent him to everybody else. So Moses goes out and says, you rebels! Really kind of representing God is mad at him when he wasn't. So instead of speaking to the rock, he beats on the rock again. So he crucified the Lord twice, right? That's one of the, because that's the whole picture of Christ there. Christ is the rock, and you strike Christ once, you crucify him once. Don't ever think about crucifying him twice. And then they complained, and God said, okay, here's the water. But what did he say to Moses afterward? Moses, you represented me. You will not go into the promised land. What do you mean? The last 40 years of my life, from 80 to 120, I've been leading this people to the promised land. What do you mean I can't go in? He said, Moses, you misrepresented. So in one instant there, in one event, Moses took himself out of the picture there, really, and bringing them into the promised land. Of course, we know that's a type. The law could never save you. He represented the law. The law could not bring you into the land. And so that is part of the story there. But here it says, You tested me. They were tested over and over and over again, and pretty much 100% of the time they were founding failing, right? And then I think of myself. How could these people fail all the time? Well, I do a lot of failure myself. But I tested you at the waters of Meribah, and now he's going to kind of admonish them and chide them a little bit in kind of a sadness, I think, here. He said, "Hear, O my people." And you're his people as well. We're his people as well. So this is to us as well. "Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if..." This is a huge word in this psalm today. There's two words, if and but. Both of them are huge words. "If you will listen to me." If my people, if you sitting right here in these chairs will listen to him. Are you listening? He says, "If you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you." That's idolatry. And we know how the proclivity of Israel was to go into idolatry, and he took his wicked nation of Syria and took the 10 northern tribes into captivity, and 140 years or so later, he took wicked Babylon to take the two southern tribes into captivity because of their idolatry and immorality. But here is the idolatry. "There shall be no foreign god among you." Now, we're really sophisticated, aren't we? We're in the United States. We're in 2023, and we don't have any little gods at home. We don't have any little gods probably on our dashboard or whatever. I don't know. Maybe you do. But what gods do you have? What gods are you serving other than the one true and living God? Where is your heart? That's really the God you're going to be serving. "There shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god." Keep going back to what the Apostle John said at the end of his epistle. What? "Keep yourself from idols." Little children, keep yourself from idols. I mean, you're coming along in this great profound epistle here, and then it just closes. "Keep yourself from idols." And you think, that's kind of a mild close, but then you start thinking about it, that's really an important close, isn't it? Because that's the problem we have. We let these foreign distractions, foreign God distractions, into our hearts and into our minds, into our schedule, and we're busy scurrying around all the time. And where's the time for the Lord? Where's the time given to him? And then he reaffirms them who he is. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." And we know the picture there is taking him out of slavery, right? We know that Pharaoh was a type of Satan. And we know how he's taken us out of the bondage of sin, how he bought us and brought us out of the land of sin. And then he says, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." Now, if you have your notes, maybe you're already there, but I couldn't help when I see this. I think of this. We had, when I grew up, we had these birds that would, we had these clotheslines out where you dry the clothes and posts, and this one end post, this one bird would always make its nest every year. And so, even though I was a little guy, I was tall enough I could look into the nest, and you'd see the eggs then. But there would be once in a while you would see the mother bringing food to the little ones, and they would sit there with their mouths open like this. And so I had to get this picture, so I put this picture on page 2 there. And you see the love of the mother bringing the necessary food to the little ones, and every single one of them have their mouths open, don't they? Now, I don't know about you this morning, but here's the food. This is the food right here. All 66 books of it. Do you have your mouth wide open for this like those little ones do? These are little bitty guys, but they want their food, right? How much do you want your food? And so God says, "Open your mouth wide, I will fill it." And guess what? As you know, he never runs out of food. Now, mom will run out. She'll have a worm or whatever she has, and they pick at it, and it's gone, and now she's got to go get some more food. But he feeds us continually, doesn't he? He never runs out. And he's showing such love, giving us what we need. So he says here in the psalm, open your mouth, and I will fill it. And the inference is there, they haven't been doing that, but they've been going astray. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. So this, you know, think of the biggest Big Mac or whatever you can find, or the super burger, you know, the thing is that thick. And you say, how am I ever going to get that in my mouth? And you open it wide, right? Well, think about that when you read the Word of God. Are we really opening our mouths wide and He will fill it? But the next verse tragically begins, but, meaning instead of being filled, my people would not heed my voice. My and Israel would have none of me. It sounds like some lives we know. Does it sound like the United States? So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. So we see the sadness there, I think. He will not violate our self-will. And if we insist on seeking after other things other than Him, particularly our lusts and so forth, we will be walking in our own counsels. And I can't help it, as I was reading that, of thinking back, oh, at least a couple of times, one time especially in my life, where I really did not follow the Lord, and I did what I wanted to do, and there were tremendous consequences from that decision. But He is so faithful. He is so faithful. He doesn't leave you there if you turn to Him, right? Amen. And then you can look at your life since that time. Let's assume that that was a turning point where you really said, hey, I'm yours, Lord. I'm really yours now. You bought me. I'm really yours. I'm the gingerbread that's yours, right? And then He straightened your path, right? And you see the blessings. I mean, unbelievable blessings. And you say, oh, I could have had all those blessings over that period of time, all that. But we don't go back there, right? We're there and we want to recognize His blessings and how good He is, but we don't want to dwell in our failures. We don't want to dwell in our past poor decisions other than to make sure we don't do it again, right? Or continue in it. But my people would not hear my voice. Israel would have none of me. I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. And then he hears this cry of a father. Oh, that my people would listen to me. Just think of the Lord as it relates to you, as He would look at you with such love and He would say, oh, that my people would listen to me. I think these verses here, these last four or five verses, are really very impactful verses to see the heart of God and His desire, what He could have done, the blessings He could have given us. He says, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies. Amen? I bet we've all seen that, haven't we, in our lives? I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. So we go going back to Deuteronomy. If you obey Him, He will bless you and curse your enemies. If you disobey Him, He will curse you and bless your enemies. It's as simple as that. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries, the haters of the Lord. You know any haters of the Lord? Looked at the news lately? The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to Him, but their fate would endure forever. So maybe they're quoting Bible verses and all these other stuff and whatever. But if they continue to be disobedient and hate the Lord, their fate is going to endure how long? Forever. But He would, here's what would have happened. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat. And with honey from the rock, I would have satisfied you. And so honey was noticed to be one of the most sweet things there was in all of Israel. And so when God says He's going to feed them honey, that means He's got that sweetness. He's got that sweetness for his children. I would have given you that had you listened and had you been where you should have been. From the rock. And of course, we can't help but think of the rock of Christ in that. Sweetness from the rock of Christ, I would have satisfied you. I would have satisfied you. How satisfied are you today? Well, I'm really satisfied with the little bit I know about him. It's so good. I'm not satisfied with looking back over my entire life and say, boy, I know he's given me every blessing that he ever would have if I would have really been close to him my whole life, right? So it's not so much where we've been, that's past. Forget it in one way. Where are we as we go forward? We don't have much time, but we have a little time left. I guess we got today. I don't know, maybe not tomorrow. But will we use today for today? And will we just be close to him that he would be able to do what he wants to do, and he will bless us so much you can't even estimate the blessings, right? Father, we thank you for calling our attention to the blessings from you and to how we have kept ourselves from some of these blessings just because of our straying away and following other things and pursuing other interests and so forth. And so, Lord, all of that is past. What about today? What about each day until you take us out of here? I don't believe our disappointments will carry over to heaven, but there is that time of considering disappointments, of the what if, so to speak, and reading these verses that I would have, I would have, I would have. So we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you. You love us so much. You love us in spite of what we do or don't do, that yet you have so many blessings for those who really are seeking you and being in the place of blessings without being clouded out by other interests and so forth. Guide us this morning as we are here. Lead us in this time of prayer, that we would be led by your Spirit to pray, utilizing these moments as we should. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but you intercede for us, and so may we listen to you and speak as you speak to us and through us, Lord, in a way, one at a time, I guess. And so lead us in this prayer now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, as we kind of come to the end here, just thinking again about the one word open, where we had in verse 10, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Let's sing this little song. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. oh Father, thanks for the victory through Jesus, Lord. And you've exhorted us there, victorious over sin, victorious over death. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, we thank you for meeting us always. We thank you for meeting us here this morning. And Lord, do open our eyes and open our ears that we would see and hear you today. And we would give you praise, Lord, and we would give you glory, and you would be glorified through our lives today, Lord. A special day, really. We'll never have another one of these days on a Saturday in 2023, the last Saturday in January, I think. Guide us and keep us now. And may we just praise you. Just praise you. May praise be on our lips. In Jesus' name. Amen.